The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Well, yeah, here is Dr. Ray, but really about only half. I don't want to whine about this, but I'm tired. Last night, my wife signed me up for this class. You know, these classes, they go 3 hours, you know, 7 to 10. And usually about 8:45, if I was in class, I was putting my bunny slippers on and I had my Afghan wrapped around me. I was ready to go to sleep. But the class was how to ask for directions when lost, real life testimonials. I thought it was something about communication. Well, she said that to me the other night. She said, "Ray, we just don't communicate." I said, or we don't communicate or what? I didn't. So I think that's what she said. I'm not sure. Good to have you with me. This is The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray with my cohorts, compadres, companions, comrades. Although that has a little negative tinge to it. Eric Dumont, call screamer. Andrew Kruczek, producer man. In Ann Arbor, a co-production of the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Call-in show. I wish the folks that keep sending me all these wonderful ideas for guests and topics and books knew that you're my guests. You are the folks I talk to. You're my heroes. You call in 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That's easy enough to remember, just 3 bits of information, as opposed to 10 bits when you, well, maybe not 10, because the 877 is 1 bit. And I do a lot of bits here. If you want to talk about or ask about or help someone else about your situation, your circumstances, people in your life, emotions, kids, jobs, stress. Oh, Dr. Ray, how could you talk about all that? I had some lady write me an email that I forget what it was. It was really pretty rough. And she said, "Who is he anyway? He's not a psychologist. He doesn't have any credentials. He doesn't know anything." Yeah, then she said he's an idiot. So she lost all reasonable credibility with me on that one. Anyway, you can call in. I'd love to talk to you. And if you can help someone else, that's great. Generic questions. You know, sometimes there's things within the world of psychology that you don't understand. The world of emotions. The world of kinds of therapies. There's a gazillion approaches to therapy out there. From the behavior strategies to the gestalt to the rational emotive to the cognitive behavioral to the eclectic. Do you know what that means? That means you just pick and choose from a whole bunch of stuff. 877-573-7825. I call it parenting slippage. It is the very natural phenomenon of getting tired as you move down the line of your children, getting a little sloppier in your parenting, getting a little loose, stuff that you would have been vigilant about with number one. Number four, you might know her middle name. It's not all bad. There's a certain amount of relaxation that takes place because, you know, you tend to be, and I'll admit it, especially with modern parents, and some of them are really uptight about parenthood. It's like this is one big formula that you have to apply. So maybe it's good to get a little slippage as you have more kids. Now, the slippage is great. I haven't really studied this, but the slippage is greater with more kids. If you have two kids, there's a certain amount, not much, 12%. That'd be my guess. But if you have six kids, ooh, you got a lot of slippage down to number six. We had 10. I was comatose on 10. What's your name? What grade you in? When? Get out. Honey, what grade is he in? So, my mother some years ago was sitting in our kitchen, not saying a word. Now, my mother is Italian. If she doesn't say something every, I don't know, 6 or 7 seconds, she's depressed. Ma, what are you thinking? I'll tell you what I'm thinking, Ray. I'm thinking you and Randy are getting lazy in your parenting. Huh? Elizabeth, now that was our 10th child. Elizabeth gets away with murder. The other kids, they do a fraction of what Lizzie does. You stop them dead in their tracks. Now, Lizzie, you take a picture. You put it in a Christmas card. Mom, wait a minute now. Lizzie doesn't need much discipline. She is an extremely cooperative child. I'll give you an example. Last night, I noticed it was half hour past her bedtime. It was about 3 a.m. All I had to do, one time, Elizabeth, bedtime, please. Immediate cooperation. She took her cigarette. She put it out in the ashtray. The other kids just flicked their butts on the floor. Not Lizzie. In the ashtray. Went straight to bed. Now, me getting sloppy. Oh, yeah, we had some of that happen. For example, we used to have a rule. Now, some of you are going to think this rule is really extreme. And by today's parenting standards, it really, 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 really is. One stuffed animal per child. If you get a second stuffed animal, which they typically did every 7 or 8 minutes from somebody, someplace, choose the one you'd like, and then we'll give the other one to the children's hospital. That's kind of our version of our Lord saying, if you have two cloaks, give them the one who has none. That worked for, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 kids. About the 8th kid, there was some slippage. Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 on the bed. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's, I can see how we'd want that one. By the time I got the Liz, the last one, well, I don't know. I counted them. We didn't go much above 6. I think I wasn't going to go crazy about this. I was going to have every inch of her bed covered. Don't you think the other kids knew it? Noticed it? We got 3 letters from attorneys representing our children, talking about how they got one stuffed animal and Lizzie has 6, and she's only 8 months old. Okay, I exaggerate. The kids know it. It's like they kept a diary. You know, you never let me do that. I remember one time it was like 1:44. It was on a Tuesday, December 9th. And I said that. You know what you did? I mean, that's amazing. They're better at dredging up stuff than sometimes marriage partners who want to dredge up the past from 19 years ago. So, parent slippage. That happens. But as long as you still teach the morals and the virtues and the faith, some of that other stuff, yeah, it's not major impact. You think it is on the first one. By the time you get to the last one, you're wondering. I remember one time I said to my son Peter, he was the 9th child. I forget how old he was, 5, 6. Hey, Petey, can you count? So he counted up to some decent number. And I said, who taught you that? Hannah. Okay, all right. I didn't know. All righty, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call if you'd like to get on. I'd love to hear from you. Yesterday, I had to leave a lot of people hanging on the lines. And if you're one of them, you call back. Throw your card down. First up.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, you know, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Dr. Ray Guarendi having an in-body experience as we speak, trapped in my body, looking out through my eyes. Weird sensation. I don't feel like I'm traveling high above my body. I feel like I'm traveling right with my body, which would probably be better if I was traveling up a little higher. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. Now, that is really an interesting question, and I think it goes straight to the extremes of the fear that's going on in our country. Too bad that she didn't stay there. Anonymous call from North Dakota. I love North Dakota. Truly, the only thing bad about North Dakota is their winter goes from, I don't know, July 7th to May 15th, something like that. Hi, Anonymous. How are you?
Wonderful. And I'm from Oregon originally. And so, yeah, it's usually 10 months of winter here. And you've been here. So
I loved it there. North Dakota people are just salt of the earth type folks. They just are. I gave the whole state a personality test and I concluded that.
You should tell them. Give them the results.
You thinking of homeschooling?
Yes. I've longed for homeschooling before COVID, and it's always like been longing on my heart. I was homeschooled for several years, and then I did private school and public school. And my best and closest dearest friends are from my homeschool years, and the best memories like that I had were from homeschool. And then my husband just not on board, just, you know, went into the school realm of this. You go to school and they start out at four years old. They go to pre-K, which is just really pushing it for comfort levels, like send a four-year-old to a school. Anywho, so he has been now more open to
what are his actual objections, other than everybody goes to school, kids go to school, it's a wonderful experience, which were my first objections way back when, until I saw my kids getting socialized by their peer group, and it wasn't pretty. So given that, is he objecting that you can't do it because you're just not organized enough, the kids will be discipline problems, they're not going to have any friends? What's his objection to all this?
Sure. So I think it would be I don't have enough time for all of that, and then me, you know, laying it out with like spreadsheets, I'm like sitting there trying to convince him of how beautiful this is and how day to day with block scheduling, how, you know, the beauty of that and how I can do it.
How old are your kids, Mom?
Yes, yeah, so 11, she would be a sixth grader, and she loves your show, and by the way, at you.
That's a weird kid. What are you doing to this child? Get her back to school before she truly messed up.
Okay, no.
So 11 and 11, what else?
And then 4, 3, and one, okay, are special needs child.
So 11 basically is your child. And, of course, will your husband believe you if you tell him you can more than adequately instruct her in 2 hours at home than it would take 6 hours at school? Would he believe that?
I believe that. It's true. Express that to him, but I know that's true. But for him, it's like, no, they would have homeschool at the end of the day, even if they were homeschooled. And it's just, that's not accurate information, like, or a response, like, for him to think that. And so
he just thinks she's going to be robbed. She won't be as academically competent because she's not gone to professional school, as opposed to amateur mom. I mean, that's what she's thinking, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of fears, too, as well. And, Doctor, I kind of have to explain that we're in a very rural community where, you know, kids go to school and they go do the sports, and it's this way of life. And
well, let me jump ahead, Mom, to this. There is a homeschool legal defense fund, or homeschool legal, I think it's legal, they have a whole bunch of research on how homeschoolers do compared to their public educated counterparts. Okay, if I remember recently, the average percentile rank in standardized tests for a homeschooler, average is 86th. Of course, general public is 50. So you can show him academically, it's not going to be a problem. If he continues to object because he has this vague sense of somehow, this just isn't normal. Come on.
Right.
Don't use your arguments about how wonderful it was for you, because he's looking at you going, yeah, well, that may have been fine for you, but not for our daughter. Although you could use this argument. You could say, hey, do you love me? Do you think I'm a sweetheart? Well, how do you think part of that happened? Okay, but maybe you don't use that argument. Now, also this. Right. Ask him for a time. Say, I'll tell you what. Give me a semester. She can always go back to school. And especially given the way schools are right now, they're all over the map. And there's a very good likelihood that many of them are going to shut back down because they're going to get test positive among the kids or the teacher. They'll shut back down. So just tell them it's kind of all up in the air right now.
Yeah.
Give me a semester.
And
we'll see where it's at.
Beautiful. I can do that. And then I would just ask regarding how I deal with feeling not entrusted by him to just be able to say, I believe that this is...
It's not you.
Good, and...
It's not you. Right. It's not you. He's got the mindset that has just been so pounded into us that you have to have a certain kind of general education to fit in and to be normal. And I always say to people, all righty, up until maybe the 1900s, the early 1900s, and even not so much then... most of human history, there was not general education. How did kids get socialized?
Mm-hmm.
What happens here? If you have to have school to socialize a kid, for human history, how did they get socialized? They got socialized by the parents, or or the clan. All right, thank you, dear.
Yeah,
thank you for the call.
Friends. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Dr.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, we got a kid here who's pugilistic, truculent, pugnacious, and Anne is calling about this. Well, there's a couple of things here, Anne, that we could question. How are you?
I'm good.
So your son, now how old is your son? He's an adult?
37.
Okay, so he's an adult. And he wrestles.
And one thing I want to say, I say one thing?
No, you can't. You're not allowed.
He really is a great dad. His wife left him with 3 kids, and that's why I watch him half the time so he can go to work. But this one issue is I don't know what to do with.
Well, you said the key thing here, Ann. That's a good thing you did. He's a really great dad. Okay. So this is an aspect, just one aspect of how he interacts with his son that makes you uncomfortable, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good, because it's only one. I mean, most grandparents can find about 25 that they don't like about how their kid is raising his kid. So,
well, your son, it's a different world out there.
Your son wrestles with his son, and how old is his son?
13.
Okay, so that's a great age. I used to pound my brother when he was 13. Truly in love, but everybody, I'll tell you a quick story after this, but he's 13 and they horseplay, right? Pounding, boxing, wrestling, stuff that guys do, right?
Yeah. The only thing is, I believe he then translates it down to his 10-year-old brother and his 7-year-old sister.
So you think that because the 13-year-old mixes it up playfully, we assume, with dad, that's how he learns and he then intimidates and hurts the younger ones?
It is rough play with dad and his oldest son, I feel.
Okay. Well, you feel, but what's the son feel about it, the grandson?
Well, he told me just this week, you know, dad will give him a punch, and he says he's showing him love, but my grandson was like, yeah, I'm not getting that.
Okay, well, tell your grandson to tell his dad that.
So I can do that, right?
Well, sure. Hey, tell the grandson, hey, that bothers you, tell dad. And if the kid says, okay, no, I don't want to, then you go to your
he's
son and say, hey.
He's afraid to.
Well, okay, then you tell your grandson, look, I'm going to say something to dad. I'm going to talk to dad. I'm going to say,
okay,
hey, maybe dad's punching him too hard. You know, I mean, there's, yeah, I used to horse play with all my sons and all the time. We'd wrestle in that, and we used to call it sneak attack because they'd sneak up behind you and they'd hit you when you had your back turned.
Right.
Weasel
right.
Move. But it was all done with, hey, we're having a good time, and if anybody gets hurt, then okay, we'll have to reassess here how we're doing this. Now, but you have a different issue, Ann. You have a bigger issue. The 13-year-old is bullying the younger ones. I don't think that has anything to do with how he and his dad interact. I think it just has to do, he's older and stronger, and he sees himself as able to do that. So he's got to be stopped. Whatever he and his dad do is not going to spill over to how you treat your younger brother and sister. That's not going to happen. We're going to stop you, and we're going to punish you.
Okay.
All righty? That's
okay.
What I'll do. Okay. Thank you, dear.
All righty.
All right. Bye. I remember when my brother was 13. I'm 15 years older than my brother. He was 13. And we used to play basketball. Now, he didn't, but a lot of the guys came over to the house. I was 28 at the time. So Mike's downstairs. My friend comes in. First friend comes in. Where's Mike? He comes over and he just turns Mike upside down and he spins him and they horse around and Mike's down on the ground and he's like, but you could tell he liked it. The big guys were paying attention to him. Not 10 minutes later, another guy comes in that we play basketball with. Where's Mike? And he goes, 13's a great age to horse play with. And sometimes the ladies are nervous about that. Oh, that seems kind of rough. Certainly, I'm not going to say it can't go to extremes, but much of the time, it is two guys horsing around, playing, and all right, one more quick one, and I'll get to your calls after this. My brother and I used to box, and I don't know if you remember soccer boppers. They were these big, huge, almost soft things you put on your hands so that you could punch, but it didn't hurt anybody. He was about 12. I was 27, and I would box him on my knees. And he wouldn't. He'd be standing up. Well, I didn't notice that the soccer bopper was running out of air. So he swung at me, and I leaned back, and he missed, but he was exposed. So I came down with my soccer bopper, a big roundhouse right. There wasn't any air in the soccer bopper. Oh, he went down. My mom just happened to be coming in because she heard all the commotion. Mike says, oh, no, I'm fine, Mom. No problem. Me and Ray were just horsing around. He covered me. Now, my brother right now bench presses 300 pounds, and I just would not want to horseplay with him because I'm brittle. We'll be right back.
call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The breadth of power that liberal governors such as Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and Andrew Cuomo in New York seek to wield against private citizens during this current pandemic is frightening. Contrary to their views, our federal constitutional rights don't go away in an emergency. These governors feel only a nominal constraint by our Constitution, as evidenced by the restrictions they have imposed on our liberty. Under the banner of public health, they believe that their power is plenary and that the Constitution has little role, if any, in curtailing that power. They are mistaken. Indeed, there is no pandemic exception to the fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. If the courts, and more importantly, we the people who ultimately control the fate of these politicians at the ballot box, were to simply accept the governor's actions and acquiesce to their power grab, then it is the fiat of the governors and not the Constitution that is the supreme law of the land. We aren't willing to surrender our freedoms so easily. We filed multiple federal civil rights lawsuits against both governors in federal courts in Michigan and New York. In the final analysis, if we don't demand our God-given inalienable rights, then they will be lost. Fight for freedom or lose it. It's that simple. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Take a chance. Okay, social media. Say somebody sends you a picture of four ladies, or Instagram, or whatever, or InstaSnap, or SnapFace, or Facebook. I don't know. Can't keep up. Write back, "You three look great." I remember there was four. And then just sit back. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. As always, enjoying very much talking to you. I think I'm pronouncing this correctly. Janelle from Texas. Hi, Janelle. Hello there.
Hello.
There you go. You're right there. Hi, Janelle.
It's Janelle.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. Eric only missed it by a couple of letters. No problem.
That's all right. It's Janelle that matters.
All righty. How are you?
Some people call me now. I'm okay. I'm feeling a little anxiety, I got to tell you, because I am a lifelong social phobic.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to help you out. You ready?
I'm taking a breath.
Okay, good. I am a highly trained professional, so I know how to deal with this. Are you ready?
Awesome.
Relax. There you go. Yeah. See what's happening? But although, wait, I don't want to get you off track too much. But I'll give you just a couple soundbite pieces that may help.
Okay.
Anxiety can't hurt you. It's unpleasant.
Yeah, I know that.
You don't like it. It's not going to hurt you. And it passes. And if you're not afraid of being anxious, you'll conquer it quicker.
Well, okay. That's what I'm overcoming.
Good for you.
I've seen a psychiatrist since I was 26 years old, and I love the one I've had for the past decade or so. I wanted to say, first off, I've been listening for a while, and it took me 10 or so minutes to talk myself into dialing, even though you gave the number like 8 times.
because of your anxiety, because you're going to tell me something I don't want to hear.
Because of my anxiety.
Okay.
I was listening when you were talking about psychology. I spent 9 years, almost 10 years, in school online, trying to get a doctorate degree. I got my clinical bachelor's, I got my master's in forensics, and I was working on a doctorate in spiritual counseling, actually, and then the school closed down when I was in my dissertation phase, so I never got my doctorate degree.
You're close. Go back.
But I'm close. And so I I wanted to just mention two quick things. You mentioned the sock and boppers. I had one of those when I was a kid. I loved it. You bring
back
childhood
memories. Weren't they great?
Oh, yes, yes. I was kind of a tomboy, so, you know, my sister was all prissy, so that was the kind of thing I had to play with. And then I wanted to thank you for your defense of homeschooling. I raised four children to adulthood, okay? You were talking about sliding back a little bit, you know, on the last ones, but I feel I got better with each one, okay? They were spaced out a bit, not by my choice. I took what God gave me. I lost four in between the four I gave birth to. The first one and first couple, actually, I was kind of really afraid to talk to them about what I believed spiritually because I don't want to offend anybody. I was born and raised in the church. And
hey, Danelle, don't worry about it. Let me be the one that's offensive. It's okay. I'll take that role.
There was just a lot of things I was being told that I couldn't buy even as a young child, okay? And I always had this voice in my head, and I came to believe that it was God. And when I told my grandma when I was 8 years old that God had told me I was going to write a book someday, my grandma said, "Oh, Danny, God wouldn't talk to you. He doesn't talk to women because only men can hold the special gift of the priesthood."
Who said this to you?
My gramma.
Okay. Well, you got to
sure
give her some tolerance.
Now.
Yeah, you got to give her some tolerance.
Now.
There's a lot of ideas that sometimes people carry that are way off.
Yeah. And so I never told anyone else until I was 40-something that I heard God because she made me feel ashamed. And I was kind of forced into a situation where I was, you know, I had to admit it to someone. And the reaction I got was not that.
Well, you know, Danelle, it's coming down to what you mean by you hear God. If you see that, if you have this inspirational kind of sense that God is guiding you, a lot of people have that. But if you say, I'm hearing his actual voice talk to me, then people would naturally be skeptical.
I know. But I do. Mm-hmm. I have that intuition too, but there have been times, several times in my life that I've heard things. Okay, the first time I was 6 years old, I was questioning why people would say these things they were saying. And I heard, "Don't believe everything you hear. Take it with a grain of salt."
Okay, I don't want to interrupt you. I don't want to go too far into the weeds. You are seeing a psychiatrist, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I had to ask my mom what "take it with a grain of salt" meant. Okay,
okay.
I didn't know those words.
Can you tell me
Can
you tell me what medication the psychiatrist is giving you? Do you know the names of
right
it?
Now,
I want to know if it's for the anxiety.
I take Wellbutrin for my depression.
Okay.
I do have Alprazolam, which is generic Xanax, that I take as needed for my anxiety. And I take fluvoxamine at night for OCD.
Okay.
I'm technically bipolar, but he doesn't medicate me for bipolar because my mania is positive. I get a lot done. I go in and tell him, "Hey, I finished a book, you know." I just got done actually publishing my sixth book, and I'm working on my seventh and eighth subsequently.
Okay. Danelle, we're going to bump up against the break here in mere seconds. Have something you wanted to ask?
I wanted to point out that when you talked about, you know, the spirituality and teaching your kids about spirituality and, you know, sliding back, but that by the time I got to my last child, I was finally ready to open up, actually my two last ones, and I told them more about what I felt, and I told
that
them
reflected.
What other
if I can jump in here a second here, that reflected the change and the spiritual maturation of you. It wasn't because you had a fourth kid that you got better at explaining the faith. It was because as you were having children and they were growing, you were changing in your own understanding of the faith.
I was able to grow in in my ability to admit. Yeah,
and you translated that into teaching your kids. Thank you.
I got better in like taking care of them. I mean, I homeschooled my last two as well. That's why I wanted to thank you for your homeschooling. My last one asked to go to public school during ninth grade. It was 2 months he was in there, and he was begging me to come back to homeschooling.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call. I got to run because the music will start here in seconds.
Right.
Thanks, Danielle.
Well, I appreciate your time. I want to know you've given me lots of smiles this morning.
I'm glad. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL, number to call to get onto the program. When we come back, your calls. And I did this yesterday. It's amazing because I know there has to be this mentality when I say you can call anytime during the program and you close to equal chance of getting on the air. And as soon as I say that, all of a sudden, just a whole bunch of calls. But that's always the way it is. All righty. No, I get a little, like, I give a nod to people who have been waiting patiently. That is true. But it's not the only variable.
Why would Jesus choose to be present under the humble circumstances of bread and wine? It is highly fitting, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that Christ should have wanted to remain with his church in this unique way. In his Eucharistic presence, Jesus is always within his church in a sacramental and mysterious manner. Saint Cyril counseled, "Do not doubt whether this is true, but rather receive the words of the Savior in faith, for he is the truth. He cannot lie." St. John Paul II wrote, "The church and the world have a great need of Eucharistic worship. Jesus awaits us in this sacrament of love. The Pope urged we, the faithful, not to refuse the Lord the time to meet with him, adoring him in contemplation, open to making amends for the serious crimes and offenses of the world." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
No. I want the horse that doesn't go up and down. Those ones that go up and down scare me. Better yet, I'm going to sit in the little carriage that they have behind the horses. I was so excited when some of my younger friends and brought their kids and we go to a little amusement park and the two-year-old, I could sit. I could have an excuse. No. I'll sit in the little cart there with the two-year-old. Yeah, because I'm unselfish. Actually, I just didn't want to go up and down on that horse. They go so fast. Paula's saying, "Well, you know, I think I'd like to homeschool, but I think I better give him some survival training, too." Hi, Paula. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray. Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Well,
I homeschooled all my olders for quite a while. I have seven, and my oldest ones, two of them now are Franciscan, and I'm just finishing up here with the, most of the last four. The youngest has Down syndrome and autism, so he'll be going to a special school because he needs all kinds of therapies. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'll be with the other three at home. I just feel like we may be ending up with, at best, socialism, at worst, communism. So I think I should probably do some survival training.
Yeah, we Christians have to have hope. We do. And, you know, I've heard so many people say, "God's in charge. I'm not worried. God's in charge." Well, he is, but he certainly has wide latitude in how he lets us decide our destiny. So you're right. And I've talked about that on this program before, Paula, where I said I've really had to work hard now at keeping my peace. Before all this, I was a relatively easygoing, upbeat guy. I didn't really have to work that hard at it. I love so much of life. And I still do. I still do. However, you're right. What I've started doing is listening to a lot less news. That's just one little step, because the news is just negative. It's misleading. In areas where I know a lot about and I listen to them portray it, oh, my. Sometimes it's just 180 degrees flagrantly wrong. But given all that, you're right. I think that we, especially, how should I say this? Kind of an irony here, Paula. People of faith, we should be still the most joyful and hopeful. On the other hand, we tend to be the ones who are most sensitive to what's going on around us. We don't just watch Netflix. And as long as I got my pizza and my check coming in or whatever it is that I consider valuable, I'm fine. Christians see the world, I think, if they're serious about their faith, a much broader perspective. You know, we worry about other souls. You know, I've had people say to me, well, you know, you're believing Jesus Christ, you're fine. Well, first of all, I'm not going to presume I'm fine. But second of all, I said, yeah, but there's a lot of people I love. I love a lot. And the way they're just ignoring God and ignoring Christ, I pray for them. That's all I can do. But I know what you're saying. I really know what you're saying, Paula. I have my sister-in-law teaches at a local school district. And she started with, they're going back to school, but of course our governor mandated that all children K through 12 have to wear masks all day at school. That's going to be a real scenario. Mm-hmm. And she said she started out with 24 kids signed up to her class. It's now down to 16. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of them withdrew right after the mask mandate. Can you imagine an 8-year-old kid sitting in a room for 7 hours, breathing his own hot air? And how many dozens of times he's going to fiddle with that mask. And then, of course, if we say, well, it's, you know, it can be passed on surfaces, well, then his hands are all over that mask and all over surfaces. And I suspect there's going to be a bit of an exodus as more kids come home, especially the littler ones. They come home and say, Mom, I'm getting a headache. Or, Mom, I can't pay attention. Or, Mom, can I stay home? What if I didn't want to come? Unless I'm wrong, I think that's going to happen. It may not happen the first week, but I think at this point, I'm telling parents, if you want to homeschool, homeschool. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm totally homeschooling. It's just, it'll have a bit of a different bent now. It won't be all different. Then we'll have the usual stuff, but it will also foray into some things about how to take care of yourself when the world's going crazy all around you.
Yeah, and I think I did a monologue of this a few days back. I think you might want to heavily emphasize why the church's teachings on morality, especially, which run flat into the face of the culture, why they make sense. And if you can find some books, go through them with your kids and study it, put much more emphasis on that, because I am convinced now that our kids, much past age 11 or 12, really better hear the logic and the reason behind why the church teaches what she does. Because if we only tell them what the church teaches, well, the culture is definitely much, much, much better at bringing across their idea of morality. Paula, bless you. You go, girl. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825. You'd like to get one last call in, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Get on to the program. Good to have you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for August is Lourdes with the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. Go on pilgrimage with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and Father John Paul Mary Zeller to the healing waters of Lourdes, where St. Bernadette first encountered Our Lady and where all are now called to conversion. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
I'm not doing it. I don't think my wife signed me up for another one of those classes. She says, Ray, they're continuing ed and they're free. I said, I didn't see one woman in those classes. It was all guy. Well, apparently, I got to go tonight. The class is How to Be the Ideal Shopping Companion, Relaxation, Exercises, Breathing Techniques. I don't know what she's saying. I'm going to have to ask her. All righty. Oh, that is a good one. Hi, Karen from New Jersey. How are you? Are you guys locked down or no? There's things open over there.
Well, some things are open, but we had a storm the other day, so a lot of people don't have power right now. I'm one of the lucky ones. We got our electricity back in a few hours, but
it was the hurricane came up the coast, huh?
Yeah. It wasn't a hurricane when it reached here, but it was pretty windy. A lot of trees down.
So you have an 8-year-old grandson. Who told him, or why does he think that Genesis, all of it has to be taken literally?
Well, what happened was, you know, as most kids that age, he's really into dinosaurs. And his paternal grandfather became a born-again Christian after he divorced his wife. And I guess he's a fundamentalist because they were talking about dinosaurs. And his grandfather told him that dinosaurs walked the earth at the same time that people walked the earth, because that's what Genesis says, that, you know, in the process of creation, that God created all these things within that week, including the creatures and the human beings. So my grandson said to my daughter, I guess we're not Christians or something to that effect, because we don't believe what the Bible says. Now, he just received his first communion, so they're obviously Christians. But how do you teach a child? What do you tell a child in order to understand the Bible and Genesis?
You can tell
them
what the church has always told us, that Genesis doesn't have to be taken literally, except in some places. For example, that God did create the first man and woman with a soul, and that there was an original sin. Something happened that caused us to rebel against God. You can tell him that oftentimes very, very good writers will tell a story to make their point. Whether or not dinosaurs walk the face of the earth at the same time as humans isn't really relevant, isn't important to his faith. It's like, we believe in God, we believe in Christ. So there are certain things that we're allowed to talk about from one direction or another. Now, obviously, I'm getting a little sophisticated in the language for an 8-year-old, but I would tell him that Genesis has always been viewed in a lot of church history and explanation as it could be a story that reveals some real important true things. And here's the ones that we have to believe. And then the rest of this, that God created it in 6 literal days, we're not obliged to believe it. Because we acknowledge that the writer could have been trying to tell us something in a story form.
Okay.
That's okay. The church says that. You go to the catechism. Go to the catechism. Look it up. It'll tell you that. And yes, that was the danger. I know when I was in the evangelical world for a while, and there were a lot of folks who were a little tighter in their view of Scripture, and they believed every single thing in Scripture was literal, which is interesting because, of course, this is my body. They didn't believe was literal.
So, that's always been my question as well.
Yeah, I always say that a fundamentalist is someone who believes in taking the Bible literally sometimes. So given that, they oftentimes told us, if you didn't believe it this way, you weren't a Christian. Whoa. Okay, matter of fact, that was one of the things that started pushing me back to the Catholic Church. Because I remember thinking, well, that's kind of your understanding, your interpretation, but an awful lot of the Christian world doesn't agree with that interpretation. So which one is the correct one, and can I ever know? And the Catholic Church made by far the best case, in my opinion. So I tell your son that, no, you're still a Christian, son. You're still a Christian, and I'm sad they told you that. I'm sad they told you that, because they're wrong about that. You can say that. Here's the other thing you're running into.
Say that his grandfather was wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would say this, too. Here's probably what you're going to run into, Karen. If they are fundamentalist, as you would use that term, then in all likelihood, they don't think Catholics are Christians.
Oh, okay.
And I think that might have been one of the ways they were telling your grandson, you and your grandmother and anybody else that's Catholic is not Christian. Okay, I got that when I hung around with some very, very conservative Christian friends. I remember I was shocked when I first heard it. It's like, Ray's not a Christian? What? Huh? No, he's not. And it was because they had certain touchstones. And the one that your grandson's grandfather has is, well, you got to believe Genesis literally or you're not a Christian. Yeah, that's common thinking,
I
think you can correct that for him. You can. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Can I also just give a shout out to my daughter? She's today 13 years clean and sober, and I just want to say how proud I am of her. And I also want to give other people hope that there's always hope.
Well, the only thing is, it wasn't really a shout out; it was a talk out. I didn't hear you yell. Nothing. I just
heard.
What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Kate.
Hey, Kate, way to go. Good for you. And I like to think, Karen,
you came back to the church. She's raising her 3 boys as Catholic, and I'm very proud of her.
That's really cool. See, you can tell all those parents out there, Karen, that sometimes when the kids drift away, the story ain't done yet.
I think that every single time I hear someone call you and say, my kids left the church, and I'm so upset, and there's really always hope. Just keep praying.
Karen, I think that if I were to talk to Kate right now, she'd probably have some pretty good words to say about her mother. I think so. Probably not so many about me, but probably more about you. Thank you, dear, for the call.
I'm sure she listens to this show later.
Yes, please. And if tell what she can do, she can go to AveMariaRadio.net, and Andrew archives the shows. So very shortly, this show is up on the archives. And she could just know the date, puts the date in, and she'll hear you and herself and the latter part of the program. Thank you for the call, Karen. Okay, got to run. No more time. Show's not. I get more out of this show than you guys do. I got to tell you that. I just do. A lot of people trying hard with all kinds of genuineness in them to seek God, to seek living right. I got to hear that, you know. Sometimes a little tough when you hear an awful lot of stuff that makes you think everything's just swirling down the drain. So it's good to see a lot of folks like yourselves who, like me, you fall, you get up, you fall, you get up. So thanks to all of you. Andrew Krucek, thank you. Eric Dumont, thank you. I'd like to thank all my listeners, but I don't have enough time left. Each and every one of them, you know, individual ones. Eternal walk, that's it. You may think this world's walk is eternal because it seems like it's gone on for a while, but it ain't. Eternal walk with God. Stay there.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.